Blog Talk Radio.
Show of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. This is our holiday show. We'll be the last show through the end of the year, then we'll start back up in January. We'll be doing some best of next week so that everybody can spend the time with their family, which is very important to everybody. These shows have brought to you each and every week in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services, by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll was previously the director of inpatient services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older and the treatment of adults, in other words, from the womb to the tomb. She's also an all-time triathlete and can help you break through to any walls you may be coming to in any sport. Just give her a call at 1-813-689-2466 where our office is located at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Well, Ty, it's been a fantastic year for us. Again, we were with your help and Zito's help and Chris's help, but we've been able to move this up. We just got the figures in on Tuesday that we moved up to now to 198,000.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, we definitely have to thank the fans for making us a highly rated, highly successful show. We have to definitely thank our guests for coming on and adding enlightenment, education, and entertainment.
Yeah.
And we definitely thank Dr. Chris for becoming a staple. Yeah. And we also thank the fighters for putting on great fights and giving us some interesting anecdotes and things to talk about.
That's for sure.
It truly is a team sport we have going on here at Fighting Words Radio, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One of the first things I wanted to talk about this week was that our friend, one of the funniest guys I know, one of the nicest guys I know, fought last week, and he didn't even finish the 12 rounds. He shortened it to 8 because he took the guy out.
Glenn Johnson. He fought very well. Mm-hmm. He fought Bobby Gunn, who's also a friend of the show. We can't let that be forgotten.
Right.
Bobby's been on the show a few times, and Bobby's a great guy, credible guy. Bobby also announced his retirement after the fight.
Right.
And Glenn announced that he's moving back to light heavyweight. He just took the cruiserweight fight because it was a short notice fight, and he was in the gym training, and the light heavyweight fight fell out. But he essentially pressured, and he beat up Bobby pretty much over the 8-round distance. So you got kudos to Glenn on a good victory. And you know what? Kudos to Bobby Gunn on a good and very interesting career.
Right. Right. It spanned, 12, 14 years. And he did another guy. You know, it's funny. When you watch movies and you get the old Rocky thing out and you think about these guys that were just muscle men that got into the game and did well. But most of the guys that we've talked to on this program over the years have not only been nice guys, genuinely nice guys, 98% of them are decent businessmen. They're good. 100% of them have been good family men. I mean, it's really a pleasure to get a chance to talk to people like that every week and enjoy the camaraderie that we've built with them over the years and to be able to get back like with a guy like Tony Thompson last week. He took everything in stride and was he's just a happy-go-lucky guy, but I don't want to get in the ring with him.
Not at all. We're fortunate that we get to deal with true prize and pride fighters,
true
guys who are fighting for a living and who have a passion about the sport, which is why they can come on day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, and speak so articulately and passionate about the craft of boxing because they have that passion.
Right. Yeah, two other guys that have been on the program in the last this last 6 months did very well. We got Brian Minto went all the way to Poland to fight and came away with a tremendous win. And I'm just trying to think who the second one was. It just came in and out of my mind right away. But they've been doing. We've had some really good people to talk to. Kathy Duva, of the Duva family. It's was the royalty of boxing for many, many years, and we just happened to see Kathy on Fight News the other night. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. But you know, Kathy's had a pretty good year with Sergey Kovalev.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the friends of the show, like you said, have had a good year. Sugar Ray Robinson has had a great year.
Right.
Amir Mansour got a big win last week, so he's having a pretty good year. So, you know, Dave Tiberi and his whole Champs management team, they're having a banner year.
Banner year, yeah.
So we've been fortunate enough, Butch, to be touched by some really good and blessed people.
Yeah, and, you know, I did get a chance to talk to Edner Cherry, and he sends his regards to everybody. He was going to try and be on tonight, but he has a Christmas party for his little boy that he has to go to. And again, this is a guy that is a tremendous family person. But Edner has signed now with the same management company out of Philadelphia that signed Amir Mansour, and they're looking for
Johan.
Right.
Yeah, Johan, I believe.
Yep. And they're going to be looking for a fight in January. They were looking at one. It was in some foreign country, but he figured it was a 20-hour flight over there. By the time he paid his camp, paid for everything, the purse just was not enough to go that far. So they're going to wait until February or March for a fight in the Philadelphia area. So we'll make sure that you guys are in there, because that's what he promised me, that he was going to get us he's going to give us Hand's number, and I can get us press passes. I might even fly up for that one. But, did you see Yaris Gamboa is now training with Floyd Mayweather Sr.?
I heard Mayweather Sr. was working with Yoriorkis Gamboa. It actually could be a good melding of styles, quite possibly, but the fact of the matter is that Gamboa now is 30. And he's fought that way his whole life. I think it's going to be hard for him to change. The goal would obviously be to make him a more disciplined boxer. He has phenomenal physical attributes and skills. But he gets a little careless at times, and I think he gets a little careless. As a lot of super athletes do, they tend to drop their hands and pull straight back and make a lot of mistakes because they've always been able to get away with it. I think that's going to be difficult to change. I think Gamboa is always going to be Gamboa. Floyd Mayweather Sr. also put it out there that he wouldn't mind training Adrian Broner, who absolutely got his ass handed to him last week by Marcos Madonna. And Floyd said he wouldn't mind working with Adrian, and he said he could teach him to fight more like Floyd Mayweather Jr. But I think the problem for Adrian Broner is he really hasn't discovered quite yet who Adrian Broner is, and it all came a little too fast for him, and he can go back and rebuild. He's still a young guy.
It's I'm going to call Chris while we're on the line here. I'm just going to leave the mic open and we'll just bring him in. Dr. Chris Plummer.
Hi, you reached the cell phone of Chris Panarello. He is unavailable.
All right, we'll try him again in a few minutes.
Does Chris have a secretary to answer his cell phone?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he doesn't even leave a voicemail on his own cell phone.
No, I am done. The man is an idol for everybody, so everybody has to, jump through certain hoops to be able to get to him.
You didn't tell me his boxing nickname was Prima Donna. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Hey, talking about Philly and fighters, Tim Witherspoon has got his son ready to go. Have you seen that?
No, I have not. But, I tell you, terrible Tim Witherspoon really is a Philadelphia boxing legend. And, he really is the first guy, even before Mike Tyson. Who really had his career essentially ruined by Don King. And, it's a shame. It's a shame. Bermanie Stavern just actually dropped the lawsuit he had against Don King, and that lawsuit, stemmed from him trying to fight for the vacant WBA title, which is now vacated due to Vitaly Klitschko exiting, actually.
Right.
So the WBA champion of America.
That's what I was just going to ask you. As I understand it, he's been named champion emeritus, so that he doesn't have to fight, and he can just put all his ideas and strength into running for the president of the Ukraine. So I don't
know
why
what?
The hell he would want to do that.
And obviously, this is the second time he's been named champion emeritus. He was champion emeritus before when he retired due to injury, and obviously he came back, and champion emeritus meant that the moment he came back, he could fight for the title. He came back, won the title, has been a champion ever since.
Right.
Initially,
the Champion America status was a status that I didn't agree with. It initially sounded to me like another sanctioning body ploy for money, mm-hmm. sanctioning body fees. However, it does make sense, specifically in this situation. He's pursuing other career endeavors. No one's been able to beat him inside the ring. So, obviously, you don't want to hold up the title. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, what this does, this allows him to step off, but it allows up-and-color contenders, specifically Stavern and Areola, to have their rematch for his title. So, it really opens up the heavyweight division. It'll be interesting to see also if Vladimir goes after that title to, you know, fully capture all the titles. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that we must have read the same article in Fight News. That's pretty much what they say. But they had named a couple upcoming guys that wanted to go for it. Do you remember who that was? Because I'm drawing a blank right now.
For what, the title?
Yeah.
Oh yes, it's going to be Bermanie Stavern and Chris Areola. Their rematch.
That's right. I forgot.
Be for their title. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, that's, it is right here.
They had a really good fight before. Stavern came out on top, dropped Areola hard in the second round, broke his nose. But it was a fantastic fight. I think it's one fans would definitely tune into. I think it's one HBO would definitely pick up again. And this time it's for a strap. And it's not just for, even though, you know, the strap wasn't lost in a ring for either of these two gentlemen, it'll be the first time they've carried a strap. And at the same time, again, it opens up the heavyweight division. Because these mm-hmm. guys are far more beatable, as they both have losses, than Vitaly was. So.
Sure. Now, let me ask you this: with this change of pace, do you think Tony would think twice about going overseas to fight and then turn around trying to get in with one of these guys? The winner of this one.
I think Tony would definitely take a shot at a strap.
Mm-hmm.
I think he deserves to be ranked in. You know, obviously. I don't know what he is in that particular sanctioning body organization as far as his ranking, but he deserves to be ranked pretty highly. Mm-hmm. And also, I think at this point in time, Tony also, not only would it be a strap, but Tony's going to, you know, he's going to take whatever is the best financial opportunity for he and his family. That's one thing. Tony's a prize fighter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it also has to be a good financial opportunity for him as well. I think part of the reason, and Tony stated this, one of the reasons why he, you know, goes across seas, he makes much better money.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't realize until he mentioned it. I knew he was trying to do everything on his own, but it's just he and his wife. That's his management company, and they watch everything very closely because they have five kids, and you know he's got a full time job in the government.
Right.
He's a terrific guy, and you know we wish him well. I hope that he gets in there and does get one of these shots. Anything we can do for him, we'll definitely do. What do you think about? Did you happen to notice the lawyers are working on a contract over in Russia to get Ledbetter back in the ring? What do you think about that? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's time for him to get back in the ring. Lebedev, obviously, a couple of his last two foes are future Hall of Famers, and James Toney and. Roy Jones. Roy Jones actually went to Russia and won a unanimous decision in a winner-take-all match tonight, actually, as well, while
he was
the subject to Russia. But, yeah, it's time to get Lebedev back in the ring. He's a good fighter, solid fighter. You know, he's coming off a knockout loss. He got stopped late. And, mm-hmm. you know, it does obviously something to a fighter's confidence, but if his confidence is still there, he still has a lot to give the sport.
Yeah. I guess Andre Ward's trying to also get back into the situation because he's now calling out a deal with Brandon Jordan.
Well, you know, Andre Ward fought at Woodrow Rodriguez, and one of the big issues before that fight was his contract situation with Goose and Tudor Promotion.
Uh-huh.
And you know, apparently before that fight, they said everything was rectified and resolved, and squabble was complete. But it appears now that he again wants to leave Goose and Tudor Promotion. So,
right.
Andre Ward's biggest battles right now has to do with his management, his promotional company. His biggest battles are in the court of law as opposed to in the ring. And in the ring, part of his problem is because he's such a good fighter. He really is. I mean, he is, you know, widely regarded as the second best fighter on the planet, you know, next to Floyd Mayweather. But because he's such a good fighter, he feels he should command a, you know, a pretty high salary because of his accomplishments and what he's done. But Andre Ward has never been a big draw. And so what he commands does not necessarily equal his market value. And I personally, not to me, I can, you know, I watch him every day, but it doesn't necessarily equal his market value. And I think that is at the root of a lot of problems for Andre Ward right now. In the ring, he hasn't encountered too many problems, but outside the ring has been his biggest issues.
Let's see if we can get Chris on the road, on the phone now. I'm sure he was probably thinking something.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Okay, Frank, how are you?
Good, good.
I missed your call. I was coming out of the bathroom when you called.
But we got the
show on.
Yes, sir. You're on the air right now.
How you doing?
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you.
We're just talking about the Broner fight. What'd you think of that one?
Well, he got a good lesson taught to him. He's about one half as good as he thinks he is.
Right.
He's not a true welterweight. You know, trying to act like
Mayweather.
Mayweather, it caught up with him.
Yep.
You know, it exposed him for what he is. He's just not a strong welterweight. He was moved up too fast, too soon. I think that Golden Boy moved him too fast, and he's just not that good. I mean, he doesn't take a punch. He has no stamina in the later rounds. He walked back to that his dressing room after the fight. He looked like a whipped dog. I mean, he just looked like he just got the living hell beat out of him. I mean, I was disappointed in his performance, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked at Madonna, how good he looked. And then he ran out of gas, for he would have knocked him silly. I mean, he didn't have no stamina in the later rounds either, so. It was an interesting fight, but not a great one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
I kind of concur with you. It could have been a great fight if a one-sided fight is rarely a great fight to me, and the fight turned one-sided.
Yeah.
And also, I think one of the biggest problems with Adrian Broner is a fighter should never believe his own hype. And even fighters that talk a lot know to be humble in the gym. And so I look at Floyd Mayweather, who obviously Adrian Broner was trying to emulate with even more outlandish behavior. But I think one of his mistakes and one of the things he didn't really copy from Floyd Mayweather is Floyd is humble in the gym, and he's humble in regards to what he knows the opponent brings to the table. He might not speak it, but he trains like every fight could be his last and like every opponent is brutally dangerous. And you know, I think Adrian Broner could have learned, I think he's probably learned a little humility.
Yeah, he did. I think he did because he doesn't have stamina in later rounds. Furthermore, I thought about it. Wait a minute, this guy's a welterweight. What would Tommy Hearns do to him? What would Sugar Ray Leonard? They'd have killed him.
True.
I mean, he's no welterweight. They moved him too fast. I think, you know, they're trying to create another Mayweather, Golden Boy, you know. I just thought the whole thing was expecting too much of him, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Malignaggi, when he fought Malignaggi, okay, he beat Malignaggi. Malignaggi just cannot hit. He can't hurt you. You know? And
this is true.
I mean, that's not a good opponent to judge by. Okay, he's ready for the welterweights. You know, I just thought, this is a joke. I thought, Sugar Leonard would kill him.
What the kid had done now is he really had created, a very, very, very strong, he marketed himself well. He really did.
He actually, he got everybody to watch the fight because they started disliking him.
Right.
So who the hell is he to act like Mayweather when he hadn't done anything yet, you know?
Right.
So,
hey, guys, we have a caller come in and had a question on a fight. Go ahead, caller.
I did. I wanted to talk about General Sullivan, but I got a leak in my pipe. I need a plumber. Yeah,
you said a plumber a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, who's this? Is this Frank Woods?
Well,
I need somebody to fix a pipe quick.
Man, I'm a jack of all trades. You know?
Yeah, I know. Did you put a right hook on that damn pipe or what?
Call on me. Where do you call me to do your favor in the plumbing department? I'm gonna say yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna call you about General Sullivan, but I lost my notes.
You know the old joke of. Well,
do you remember a guy named John L. Sullivan?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was one of the first the giant heavyweights of all times.
He's from Boston.
John L. Sullivan, I know his whole history, for Christ's sake. I got a whole book on him up there.
How many rounds fights? Do you know anything about his longest fight? I had all my notes here. The kids took them. I can't talk from authority right now.
Well, he fought that wrestler, the guy that was more of a wrestler than he was a fighter, and it went quite a long distance. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name now. You got me. But John L. Sullivan had, he did have a, I think about 30-some rounds or four. What was it, Ron?
52.
You got me now.
52-round fight. He jumped on a guy from the top rope, landed on his head with both his knees in the 20th round, and he took him 52 rounds to take him out.
Well, he was 5'10", 190 to 200 pounds.
Yeah, 195.
Considered a big man for his day. Considered a big man for his day, you know? And nobody could beat him until he got old. And
okay, was he ever sober?
They say that he did this, he did that, he drank a lot, but I don't think that was early in his career. I think his time went on.
Never sober until the end. Never sober until the end of his career.
Where the hell did you get all this information?
I had all the facts from the Naples.
There's nothing on John L. Sullivan in Naples, Florida, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I mean, the guy made the equivalent of $250 million. He died with $75,000 at age 59 of a heart attack. I mean, I'm going to have to educate you because I wanted more information.
All right.
He was 59 years old when he died. Died with $75,000 in his pocket.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? I never heard that, Ron.
Well, actually, it was in the Wall Street Journal today. That's why I was going to. But the kids took my paper.
Holy Christ. I never heard that about him.
That was a great story. They mentioned your name. They said in the 1800s when you were boxing. They definitely. They said you had a hell of a left hook. They said your nose could take a shot. They said they saw a picture of your nose.
What?
And then we got cut off.
Get me in my big Italian nose.
Did you ever talk about that fight? Did you ever talk about that fight that made the papers?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm
going to
send it to you. Did I ever send it to you, Ron?
No, I heard about it. It was infamous. It's a story that, you know,
I
tell my grandkids.
You'll have more respect for me when you see that, see? Eddie Gebler came in the office last week, and the Tex was there, believe it or not, came in from Washington, and I said to Tex, I said, see, this guy gives me a bad write-up all the time. He said, Chris Panarello was a fair amateur fighter. Fair. I said, I got to get him to stop using the word fair. I said, I'm going to send him the article. So I'm about ready to do it. But he went off and disappeared off the face of the earth, Ron Eddie did.
Really?
Nobody sees him anymore. Oh, my God, he doesn't come out of the house, doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And what a great writer. What a great wealth of information he was.
I really enjoyed his old articles about Old Chester and the old times and the area, you know, but he doesn't do that anymore. Doesn't go out and circulate and pick up stories, you know. So
wow.
I tell you what, we're all getting up there because Eddie is 80-some years old now.
Yeah,
wow.
He's 87. He's the same age as my uncle.
How old is he?
He's 87.
Holy Christ, really?
Yeah.
Christ, I'm a young man in that crowd.
Yeah, he and my Uncle Bill went to school together.
Okay.
St. James, yeah.
Well, then no wonder he doesn't come out of the house much anymore, 87. Jesus Christ. You know? What the hell?
Wow.
I was surprised. How you been, Ron?
I'm expecting you to call into the Rejuvenation Health Radio Show on Thursdays at 1. I needed a dentist this week, and no one called in. I sent you the notice.
You sent me a notice, what, on a computer?
Yeah.
He never sees that.
I don't even know how to turn a computer on. I'm a total a Neanderthal when it comes to technology. I felt guilty the other day. I asked the guy, where would I go to learn how to use a computer? And I'm going to take a course in it. Because there's so much you can learn from them. And Christ, my son Rick is every time I want to know something, he just flips that computer on and the information's there. So,
I've been catchy sometimes on this show.
Some advice. You gave me some advice on that, too, at one time. You said I should learn how to do all that, email people and all that stuff. So, anyway.
Well, when you're talking about fighting and all the stacks, I thought you're just sitting there right in front of a computer.
No, he's got that.
Let me ask you a question. Was that really was the John L. Sullivan story in the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, it was in this morning's paper, yes.
Because a woman
wrote a book about him, and I said like a 300-page summary of his life. And
wow.
I wanted to save the paper because I actually thought I'd buy the book, but I don't have it.
I have a couple books on John L. I looked at them last night. I was up there organizing all my golf magazines, all my golf stuff. I'm getting everything together, trying to organize it and put it down the cellar so nothing happens to it. And I picked the John L. Sullivan book up. But there wasn't that kind of information wasn't in there. Now, who was the guy he fought that was a wrestler?
I had it in the article, Chris. I don't know it myself, but it was in the article, and I was going to bring it up tonight.
Ty, do you
thought nobody even knows who John L. Sullivan was anymore. You know, it's been so long ago.
Yeah,
well,
God, he was just a little older than you, I think.
Yeah, not too bad. You know? So he died at 59? Are you kidding me? Is that when he died?
Yeah.
He
was 59.
Are you making all this crap up?
That stuff. I leave that up to you. You got these guys thinking you know about boxing, you know? You're really doing a great job. So I was gonna dazzle you with some facts, but I can't find the paper, so I'm dead.
Ask Ron about something about boxing. He fought in Collindale. Collindale, Pennsylvania. Holy Christ.
There you go.
I don't even know if that's here anymore. Is Collindale still there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
It is?
All of a sudden, it's become the crack capital of the world.
That's a damn shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I can remember going up there watching Eddie Stone Collindale football games at night. It was usually first night game of the year. And Jack Raphael was playing. I don't know why I remember that name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they beat Eddie Stone that night.
Yeah.
Well, the rivalry for Collindale was Collindale Sharon Hill on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's your next door neighbor. But the big game, they played Eddystone early. They always were the two best teams. And Collindale had a big fullback at one time right before I sort of watched him, and he was 190 pounds, and ran over everybody. That was big in those days, 190 pound fullback. You know, was that their Thanksgiving Day game, Sharon Hill?
Yeah, it was always Sharon Hill. And we had that kid, Christie, you know, he played for us, and the kid in the towel was a quarterback. They were pretty good in those days.
Mm-hmm. They were good in basketball, too. Yeah, decent basketball.
Yeah, you know, I was a Smurf, so I didn't really go there too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, I used to go up there, catch that Eddystone Collindale. It was like one of the first games of the year. They were good. They were really good. They were like Class A. They weren't a small school. They were bigger than Upper Chi. Of course,
right.
Everybody was bigger than Upper Chi, Chester. Yeah. we had 80 boys in the whole school.
Wow.
80 boys, and 55 came out for football. If you weren't wearing the leg braces for polio, you better get your ass out on the football field, try to help Upper Chi out, because they would condemn you. You know, we had guys 105 pounds going out for the team, 105, 110,
yeah.
Little skinny guys coming out. We didn't have uniforms. We only had 22 uniforms, so they had to buy their own uniforms.
Wow.
And we didn't even have enough money to buy that many uniforms. So we had two different colors on opening day, the maroon and gray, and then the colors that they could get together and wear. One guy had a bee suit on, like a hornet. Were the Eagles at one time called the Hornets? The guy came out with a hornet uniform. Do you remember the Eagles in the beginning? What were they called? Yellow Jackets.
No, Pittsburgh was the Yellow Jackets.
Who?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
You remember when the Eagles started in Pottsville? I think they became the Eagles?
No, I don't remember that.
Way the hell back. Yeah, the precursor to the Eagles was Pottsville, whatever they called them. I thought it was Yellow Jackets or something like that. I don't know.
Well, it came out of Pottsville. It had to do something with Yingling.
Yeah. Because Pottsville played against the Chicago Bears when 77, when Red Grange started pro football, actually. And Pottsville had one of the few teams that was able to play the Bears. That's going back. You guys are dragging it. That's an it. What's that, 27, 28, 29? When
somewhere
did
around
Grange
there,
get
yeah.
out of Illinois? Yeah,
yeah,
way the hell back.
That's funny you bring that up, because that's who they play tomorrow night.
Who's that?
Pottsville. Eagles play Chicago tomorrow.
Wow. The Bears play that robbery.
They have to win that.
All right, who do you pick in that one? How do you pick that game? Is the Eagles 3-point favorites?
It's minus 2.5.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on if Cutler plays or doesn't play. And if Foles is able
Cutler's
to...
Cutler's not hurt anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they kept him out the last 2 weeks. But if he plays tomorrow and he has a good game because it's in their field, they could be a spoiler, because if the Eagles win, the Eagles go to the wild card. If Chicago wins, they go. But,
now, I know there's a lot at stake now in all these games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
let me ask the Doc one more thing here. Hey, Doc, what do you know about a guy named Corbett?
Jim Corbett?
You mean the fighter Jim Corbett?
Jim Corbett.
He was a member of a boxing club in San Francisco. In those days, the clubs, the only gyms around were the clubs. Everybody had these clubs. And Corbett came out of San Francisco, and he's the guy that beat...
He beat John L.
You beat John L., yeah.
You know
and
how
John
he did
L.
it?
John L. was a shadow of himself.
Well, he was 220, he was 212 pounds for that fight, but do you know how he did it?
What?
He used the
no,
rope-a-dope. He was the original rope-a-dope that was made famous by Muhammad Ali.
Hmm.
That's
well,
how he
did
it. He got him in the 21st round.
Did you ever see the movie the great John L. Errol Flynn played Corbett and Ward Bond played John L.? Did you ever see that movie?
No,
tremendous
I didn't.
Movie. Alan Hale was in it. Oh, my God, it was a great movie. Really. And Alexis Smith was in it. It was a great show. And,
I'm going to have to get you this book just so you can get back up on the John
yeah,
L. story.
John L., Christ. I'm going to read the one I got. Corbett went on to fight Fitzsimmons. And did you know what, Ron? You would be shocked. They have... When we were at the Congress Theater in, the 40s, we were kids, they had some pictures of Jim Corbett boxing, and they wore, you ought to see the outfits they wore, and they looked extremely clumsy. They looked awful, to be honest with you. You would think, Christ, today's heavyweights would kill them. But I guess, they were tough for their day, you know. After watching Sullivan and Corbett, the guy said, "Hell, Willie Peck would have been heavyweight champion." And because they looked so bad, you know. And,
wow.
I guess part of it was the movies were, so poor. You know, they were jumping around. They had tights on you wouldn't believe, and. Corbett was not a muscular guy at all, and he looked very clumsy. And all John L. was doing was charging into him and getting smacked in the face. And he was way overweight. I only saw about a round.
John L. was 212, and Jim Corbett was 178.
Yeah, he was small because Fitzsimmons only was 165 pounds. And that was for the heavyweight title right after. That was the first guy he defended it against, Bob Fitzsimmons.
Well, I'm gonna give his show back to Frank, but I'm going to tell you what reminded me of calling you tonight.
Go ahead.
Because they said Jim Corbett was tall and pompadoured. And I said, I knew a guy from Chichester that had a pompadour.
Pompadour.
He was shorter than pompadoured. Hey, I worked into a Tony Curtis curl down the middle of my forehead. Boy, I got pictures of that. I dazzled those local girls with that hairstyle. You know? I made a curl down the middle of my forehead. If I could ever find an old picture, Ron, I'm going to send it to you. You'll die laughing. You know? But who didn't have a pompadour then? That was the days we used Vaseline hair tonic.
You used the Raleigh cream oil. And Vitalis.
Vaseline hair tonic and Vitalis. Holy Christ. Well, I had some hair, man. I had a pompadour. You better believe it. I was 6 foot with the pompadour. Christ. Italian
right.
Afro. I had. Hello?
All right, Chris, Rejuvenation
right,
Health Radio. Thursdays at 1. Huh?
Bring it to Puerto Rico.
I'm going to do the radio show from Puerto Rico.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks for letting us have a good time.
Okay. Have a good holiday, Ron.
All right. Merry Christmas, everybody. See
you
all.
Thank you. Same to you, Ron.
Okay. See ya. Bye.
Hey, Frank.
Yes, sir.
Can you believe that? I'm shocked. It's funny. Last night I was cleaning up my room, putting all my books aside. I picked up John L. Sullivan. And I just said... Nobody even knows who the hell he is anymore. Now he's telling me he's on the
Wall Street Journal.
You know, the Wall Street Journal. My God.
Well, yeah.
I guess they're coming back with nostalgia and everything. But I'm trying to remember the guy he fought, he won the title from. And somebody sold me a picture of all the Irish fighters in the early part of the century.
Mm-hmm.
I got a picture of about 30 or 40 Irish champions. It's
wow.
quite a picture. I don't think there's many of them left anywhere. But
no.
It's a great picture. I'm thinking of all the names, you know, up to even the guy that fought Jim, Tom Sharkey. He was a short guy, about 5'8", 195, 200 pounds. He fought in that era, and they had all the Irish fighters at the turn of the century. Most of your professionals in those days were Irish fighters. It was, I mean, they dominated all the divisions, everything, back around John L's era. And they were using 4-ounce gloves, too. Would you believe that?
Wow.
The first gloves were 4 ounces. Just barely cover your knuckles, for Christ's sake.
Right.
Heavyweights were, well, right after the bare knuckle era, they made the rules, you know, the rules. And my wife just turned the television on. Let me go in the other room. She can't stand to hear our boxing conversation. That was Dr. Repesee on the phone, by the way. Ronnie Repesee called. Jesus, God, let me go wear some peace and quiet. You know? Well, you guys are awful quiet tonight. What do you think?
Well, Ty's right there.
Adrian Butler, hey, I'll tell you, the welterweight on that card, you know, do you remember the knocked out, was it Soto Karras, or what was that welterweight's name?
With who?
It was like 3 bouts on that night, or Maidon. There was an earlier bout.
Oh.
The welterweight.
I was thinking about Soto Karras against Keith Thurman.
Thurman.
Yeah, Keith
he
Thurman.
He knocked the hell out of, you know, of course, Soto Karras is easy to hit, and he's got a good chin.
Right.
That was his best weapon, was his chin, but he gave him a shellacking, and last night they had a fight on where, leading up to this fight, he fought a guy named Chavez, and the fight was
Diego
even.
Diego Chavez, yeah. Yep.
It was even all the way. I mean, it was anybody's fight, and then Thurman hit him with a body shot. Turned that fight around, then knocked him out the next round. But he's a pretty good fighter, very steady, doesn't make a mistake, good counter puncher, you know, big strong upper body for a welterweight, you know. I think he would kill Broner if he fought him, you know. Well, where does Broner go from here? Did he give up the lightweight title, or does he still have it?
I don't think he has it anymore.
Are you talking about Broner?
Yeah.
Yeah, did he give up all his titles when he won the welterweight?
He gave up the lightweight title. So now he's just he had the welterweight titles, but he lost.
Right. Yeah. Well,
Vitaly Klitschko vacating his title? Become champ emeritus to run for president.
Well, I saw him on TV the other night when Ukrainians were all revolting against the Russian government for not signing a better deal with Europe or something into that. And he was up on the podium with one of the American dignitaries. He's right up there, so he's very popular over there. He might become president of the Ukraine, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, he's inserted himself right in the middle of this whole issue with Russia. And I think he has a good chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, you got to vote for somebody. You know, he's probably as good as anybody. And, you know, he's a smart guy. They're a well-educated guy. So
right.
It's not like you're, you know, letting Jesse... what was the
Ventura
wrestler? You know,
oh, Ventura?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. What
were they thinking?
You know, it's not like you're letting Jesse Ventura in there. Jesus, God.
Yeah.
But can you believe he became a governor of Minnesota, really?
No,
I mean,
can't.
That was... I look back on that. I go, how the hell did these people ever vote for that?
Yeah.
What a character. I mean, his act wore off real quick. You know, you talk about Broner's act. That guy had an act, you know. He just, but you know, the public, they put Schwarzenegger. That was a year they put Schwarzenegger in there, and then him, and then a lot of different, you know. But I think it's great. I mean, that he's trying. You know, he's trying to do the complete job. He made all the money he'll ever need. Now he's going to help the country.
Yeah.
And you know, But they, the Ukraine, the Ukrainians and have always been a country with a lot of pride, you know, a state with a lot of pride.
Right.
And doesn't surprise me that they're raised in hell, you know.
Yeah.
They've been around forever, the Ukraine. But they always fought with Poland. Christ, they fought with, they've always were a controversial country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They came up from nowhere, really.
You remember the movie
with Yul Brynner, what was the name of that?
The King and
Yeah, Yul Brynner made it. I'm trying to remember. And they were, that was a good movie, by the way, but they were Ukrainians, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they were fighting Poland, yeah, they were, yeah. Well, you know what I didn't realize when the Soviet Republic, I didn't know there were that many states comprising the Soviet Republic. But
right.
they go all the way down into China.
Sure.
You know, when you talk about guys like Kosta Zhu, they were Mongols.
Right.
You know, they were the original Mongols. That was their background.
Well, you know, the Soviet Union encompassed so many autonomous regions that once it's splintered, those autonomous regions obviously were going to want to become states.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this new middleweight, Golovkin,
who I think is
tremendous. I think he's going to become one of the all-time greats. I mean, I think he's got the potential. He's got such a fantastic left hook to the body.
And you know what, Dr.
Chris,
you know what? I'm more impressed with his ability to cut the ring off.
Yeah, well, you can't get away. You know, when you're trying to go out the right side, he hits you with that damn left hook. He half kill you with it, you know. And he goes right to the liver.
He has tremendous footwork.
Yeah, Jesus, God. And he's relentless. Relentless. I mean, he just keeps moving forward. And he cuts the ring off and he throws. You know, and when those guys go out to the right, he can't get hit by a right hand, so he throws the left hook. They don't know that the worst thing they could do is go, you know, escape out when they're in a corner like that, go out to the right because they can't counter with the right hook while they're moving right. And he blasts them with that left hook. When he won that last fight, they put, for about 2 weeks after that, they put all his fights on. They rerun them on Showtime. And Showtime and that one-to-one on 400 HBO. And boy, he's an impressive guy. Jesus, God.
And you know
now
what
they got a good
about him, Dr. Chris, is I don't think, you know, he's not great defensively, but he's responsible defensively. But one thing I've noticed about him is as he starts to get your timing down, it starts to time the punches better, he becomes better defensively as the fight wears on, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Late in the rounds, he's knocking everybody out late in the rounds.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, how many guys, most of the guys knock everybody out in the early rounds. They got nothing left after round six or seven. This guy gets stronger,
mm-hmm.
which leads me to believe he's going to be, you know, of course, you know, I'll tell you who would give him a good fight, the fighter from Brooklyn. That kid's good.
Yeah.
From,
you know,
Kid Chocolate, you think so?
Yeah, he's good. That kid's good.
You know, Peter Quillen's a friend of the show. Yeah,
he's
been on here before. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think he runs over Peter Quillen. And I love Peter. Peter, if you're listening to the show, sorry, but I think right now that Golovkin is better than Peter. I think he takes Kid Chocolate right now.
Well, if they're looking for a good match, I think that'd be a hell of a match.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to stop that is boxing's political cold war between Showtime and HBO, Golden Boy and Bob Arum.
Yeah,
so that's a fight that we will not see happen anytime soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, I got a feeling. Yeah, the Golden Boy and there's three factors in there now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, it's almost like we have two different leagues right now.
Yeah. You sign up with one or you sign up with the other, you know.
Exactly.
You know. And then they don't want to fight each other, and it's getting because there are so many individual titles that nobody wants to consolidate today and have one champion. Everybody wants to have their own champion, so they're going to avoid losing their big stars, their big attractions, you know, the promoters, you know. So yeah, I never thought of that. You know, I never thought of that, but you're probably right on that they may never fight. But who the hell is he going to fight?
You know, and
that's why
their last fight was kind of by proxy because for Kid Chocolate fought Philly's Gabriel Rosado, And it was a fight by proxy because it was all about seeing how Kid Chocolate did against Rosado as opposed to how Golovkin did against Rosado. So, I mean, that's unfortunately the closest we're going to get are fights by proxy with these guys until this Cold War is staled somewhat, or thawed, I should say.
Well, Aaron's one hell of a businessman. Oh, my God, he's tough to deal with, you know. And Golden Boy's tough to deal with now, too. They're all having ego problems.
Yep.
And who knows what's going to happen, you know?
Guys, we're up against the clock here, and we're going to have to...
Is it already 7? We've been that long already?
Yes, sir. 5 minutes up.
God almighty. Don't let Repussy on anymore, Frank. Tell me he takes up too much valuable time. And he's
right.
A bad draw, tell him. He's a bad draw.
Well, Chris, I really, really thank you for coming on. You've made a terrific, you've really, like I was telling Ty just before we went on, our numbers have now gone to 196,000 weekly listeners, and it's because of you and Ty and Zito that have helped us move this up.
We got a lot of people fooled, Frank, you know? They think we know what the hell we're talking about. we're fooling somebody out there. That sounds good, though.
Yep.
I can't believe you get that many hits. That's quite a wow.
Yeah.
Well, we better bring Tex back on. We'll top 200.
Yeah.
He's coming back to Philly in a couple of months. He's not going to stay in Washington. He had a landscape business out there and didn't do too good. All right, guys. Well, then it's all over. I'll see you. Talk to you next week, then.
Yeah, we're
going
to take next week off, Chris. We'll talk to you after the first of the year. But I'll give you a call later on.
All right, thanks, Frank. See you.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Well, another hour flew by.
So quickly.
Yeah. And again, Ty, I can't thank you and Zito enough for hanging in there with us and really making this a tremendous program. So I guess, well, since Z's not here, I guess you're going to have to leave this out.
Definitely want to thank Dr. Repussy and Dr. Chris for joining us this week. Thank everybody for tuning in. It's been a great year in the sport of boxing, a sweet science. We will see you all in 2014. Everybody enjoy their holidays. Bob is their co-pilot. Good night, all.
Well, we thank everybody for listening in. We wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a very safe holiday season. Please, when you're out there, remember these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. And grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see the guys standing there or a lady standing there in a uniform, just a simple thank you means the world of everything to all of us. These programs are also dedicated to members of the police and fire services that have passed. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogel, Longo Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, formerly Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, and the the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, well, you may be 10-7 at this point in time, and sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your field, and the sun shine lightly on your face. Till we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night.
Shema Ezahir Ma Tzon Hashem Nevor Atzfet HaKuyig Gen Ma'ir Ma
We love you.